Good morning, church family. I hope you were blessed with the worship this morning. We're so blessed to have the privilege of having Cody Carnes and Carrie Jobe to make these worship sets available to us. And I just want to take a moment and thank them for that. I want to thank you for taking the time to jump on this live stream with me this morning. I just want to encourage you before we get into the Word of God today that Pastor Crystal and I are praying for you and your families. And we're believing God is going to see all of us through this. And so we just want to encourage you today with the Word of God and just pray that God would be with you and your family during this time. If you've got your Bibles today, I'm going to be reading out of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 today. And I want to encourage you, we're reading through the Gospels together as a church family, and I want to encourage you to be reading that with us, and I hope that you are reading that with us. And if you're not, you can still jump in. We're going to be reading through the Gospels in the next 90 days. And so I'm excited about that. And I just wanted to start off before we read any of these passages that I want to read. I have two verses today in the book of Matthew that I want to read to you. But before we get into that, I just want to tell you that, you know, at the beginning of this year, the Lord had placed on my heart to really, really study the Gospels this year, to really park in the Gospels and to just stay there and to really eat and feed on the words of Jesus and the things that Jesus said, and that I should be teaching those as well. And so that's why, if you've been noticing this whole year, we've been in the Gospels, and I believe that that's the direction that God has for us as a church. And so I want to just talk to you today about this Matthew chapter 14. And before we get to those two verses, I want to kind of give you a little synopsis of what this chapter is about. Matthew chapter 14 is a chapter that is full of the miracles of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 14, we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And this is a story that most of us know so well, that the crowds were following Jesus, and they had come out to Jesus when he was in a deserted place. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, send the crowds away. It's getting late and the people are hungry." And Jesus looked at them. He says, "You give them something to eat." They looked at him like he was crazy. They had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, "Go get me what you can find." And so they came back and they had a little boy's lunch that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we know the story that Jesus took that 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He lifted it up to the Father. He blessed it. He broke it. He put it into the hands of the disciples. And 5,000 men, not counting women and children, ate that day, and 12 basketfuls of fragments were left over. What an amazing, amazing miracle that Jesus has done. And we know that miracle, and this chapter talks about that miracle. And then after that, we know that Jesus sent the disciples on to the other side of the lake, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And when a storm rose up that night, and the disciples were despairing for their lives because the storm was so intense and it was so crazy, and they looked up and they see somebody walking across the water, and there Jesus is. And we know he called Peter out to him, and Peter walks out on the water, and he looks around and he sees the waves and the wind and the storm, and he begins to sink and he cries out, and Jesus lifts him up out of the water. And then they get into the boat, and then when they get into the boat, with one word Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the storm that had the disciples terrified was calmed in a moment, and they fell at his feet and began to worship and said, "Who is this man that even the waves and the wind obey?" And then when Jesus got finished with that and they got to the other side, they arrived in the city of Gennesaret. And when they got there, people had already heard about all the miracles that Jesus had done. So they began to bring out the sick and the lame, and they began to bring them out to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus healed all of the sick people who were there. And I want to just start off in this Matthew chapter 14 and talk about what an amazing Savior that we have in Jesus Christ today. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 14 that he was full of compassion for the people. Now, I want to tell you today that Jesus sees your situation, and he's full of compassion for you. He's full of love for you, and he's still our provider. Can you see that even in that place, in that barren place where people had nothing to give and they had nothing to eat, Jesus provided for them? And I want to tell you today, you may be in a situation where you don't know how you're going to feed your family. You don't know how your family is going to make it through this time of lack. I want to encourage you and tell you, put your faith in Jesus Christ, because just like he was their provider, he's your provider today if you put your faith in him. We can see in this chapter that Jesus is the peace in the storm. We are facing a huge storm right now, much like the disciples. Our boat is being rocked. Our boat is being tossed to and fro with waves all over the world. The whole earth right now is in the same boat. We use that situation, or we use that phrase a lot, man, we're in the same boat. And no matter where you are today, we're in the same boat. We're locked in our homes, and we don't know when this is going to end, and we don't know what's going to happen. And I want to just encourage you, the disciples were in a very similar situation that we're in right now. And what they saw was, when they were in the greatest storm that they had ever seen, when Jesus got into their boat, he spoke one word, and he said, "Peace." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. And I want to encourage you today that one word from the Master, one word from Jesus Christ, can calm every storm and everything that you're going through. Jesus is our peace in the storm. And we also see in this chapter that he's our healer. People are afraid right now because COVID-19 is running rampant all over the world. And we're hearing about it in the news, and we're hearing about the devastating effects that it's having on so many people. And people are literally terrified. They're terrified to leave their homes, and all of these things are happening. And not just COVID-19, but there's cancer, there's AIDS, there's all these diseases. And I want you to notice that in this Matthew chapter 14, Jesus healed all of their diseases. He healed all of the sick. And so I want to encourage you, not only is Jesus our provider, not only is he our peace in the storm, but today Jesus is our healer. He's the one that brings healing to the nations. He brings healing to us today. And I want to encourage you today, put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus today and put your fears to flight. Trust in him and allow his peace to overflow you, and allow his peace to flood into you right now. We can see in this chapter that Jesus is a waymaker. He's a waymaker where there seems to be no way. Some of you are facing situations where it seems like you're not going to be able to make it to the other side. Just like the disciples, they had no idea how they were going to make it, because they were paddling as hard as they could. They were doing everything they possibly knew how to do, and yet they could not make it to the other side. And I want to tell you, Jesus made a way where there was no way. Jesus walked on the water, and he got into their boat, and he calmed that storm, and he brought them safely to the other side. Friends, I want to encourage you today and tell you that Jesus Christ is going to bring us to the other side of this. He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. And I want to encourage you with that. And I want to tell you that this is all in one chapter in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 14, we see all of these amazing miracles and all of these things that Jesus did. And we're all familiar with the public life of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you this today. This is something that I really believe. We're so familiar with the public life of Jesus that we miss the two most important verses in this whole chapter. Now, I didn't read the whole chapter for you today just for the sake of brevity, because we only have a certain amount of time together. But I challenge you, even this afternoon, to go back and just read Matthew chapter 14 for yourself, and you'll see that those are the three big parts that happen. But there's two verses in this chapter that will give us a glimpse into the secret life of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you today about the secret life. And I want to tell you that we saw all these miracles that Jesus Christ did. We saw him feed the 5,000. We saw him walk on the water. We saw him calm the raging storm. We saw him heal all of these diseases. But I believe if we're not careful, we'll miss the two most important verses in this chapter. And I want to read them to you. I hope you have your Bibles today. We're going to be reading today out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. And then I want to read to you verse 23. And then I want to talk about these verses for just a few minutes. Could we go to the Lord in prayer really quickly before we move any further, before we read the Word of God today? And I want to just ask God to prepare our hearts to receive what he's saying to us today. So Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. Jesus, I thank you for all of the miracles that you performed. I thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy, your compassion. I thank you that you're a provider. I thank you that you're a way maker. Lord, I ask you today that as we spend these next few moments together, I pray that you would open our hearts and let us hear the word of God and let it change us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. Let your word penetrate our hearts and make us new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 14. Now I'm going to read verse 13, and then I'm going to read verse 23 right after that. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Now verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Now I want you to notice these two verses. You may be thinking, Pastor, what's so important about these verses? Jesus didn't heal anybody. He didn't do any miracles in these two verses. He really didn't do anything. He was by himself alone. And I want to tell you that's exactly the point. These two verses show us that Jesus had a habit of going to deserted places. He had a habit of sending others away so that he could be alone with the Father to pray. Jesus didn't pray because he had to. Jesus prayed because he got to. He prayed because he wanted to. He prayed because prayer to him was communion with the Father. And I want to just tell you today, Jesus spent time in the Word of God alone. He spent time in secret worship. Jesus was spending time with the Father, and that was the secret to his power in the open. It was his secret to his power in public. And I want you to just think about this for a moment. I want to tell you that I believe that God is doing some things in the church because I believe a lot of Christians are in love with church and they're not in love with God. They're in love with gathering together in large groups of people. And don't mistake me and don't get me wrong. I love the church and we need to be a part of the church and we need to gather together. But if all we love is gathering together and we don't love God, it's going to show when we can't gather together. I got a question for you today. How often have you been worshiping on your own since we've been able to meet together as a church family? How often have you been praying alone in your secret place with the Lord since we don't have time to pray together in person? And that'll just let you know where your heart is. And so I want you to be thinking about this today. Jesus had a secret life that others were not privy to. He had a secret life. He had a life with others. He had a life with the disciples. He had a life with those that were closest to him. He worshiped together. He read the scriptures together. He studied with them. He taught them, but he also had a secret life. And I want to tell you today that that's where the spiritual power that we see manifested in public came from. It came from Jesus's secret life with God. He even sent his disciples and those closest to him away. And the results of Jesus' secret life was what? Spiritual power from God. Jesus's secret to his strength came from his secret life. Jesus's provision that he was able to provide from others came from his secret life with God. Do you remember in the book of John when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well? And the disciples had gone on into town because everybody was hungry and they went to go get some food. And Jesus is ministering to this woman, this Samaritan woman, and he's talking to her about living water. And before this conversation is over, she receives this living water from Jesus and she goes into town to tell everybody who Jesus is. And all of a sudden the disciples come back and they say, Jesus, we've got food. And Jesus looks at them and what does he say? Listen, I've got food to eat that you don't know about. I've got food to eat. And what Jesus was saying to them is, listen, while you were thinking about natural things and while you were going into town to get some bread and some fish or whatever you were picking up, listen, I have food that comes directly from my secret relationship with the Heavenly Father. And man, is it ever delicious and man, is it ever great. But guess what? It's mine and his to share together. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are like me and you love food. And some of you probably have a secret snack drawer at home where you try to hide your favorite foods from other people in your family. And you may be looking around right now hoping no one in your family sees you smiling so they won't know where you keep the good stuff. And I want to tell you, that maybe you have a secret drawer for natural food where nobody else can get in and nobody else can find that. In the same way, Jesus had a secret relationship with the Father that sustained him. He had this food that he got with the Father that none of the disciples knew about yet. They had no idea what he was talking about. They were looking at each other puzzled, saying, what is he even talking about? He doesn't have any food, and he's talking about having food to eat that we don't know about. What does he have, some fish in his back pocket? What is he doing? No, Jesus was talking about that secret relationship that he had with the Father that sustained him throughout his life and ministry. Jesus' secret life with the Father enabled him to have public victories over Satan and his kingdom. I want you to think about that right now. The secret life that Jesus had with the Father is what enabled him to have public victories over the enemy. It's what enabled him to heal the sick. It's what enabled him to walk on the water. It's what enabled him to see multiplication of natural things. It was that spiritual life that Jesus had. Now, I want to tell you, this is kind of a funny thing, but God has given me a gift. Some of you are thinking, yeah, he's definitely given you a gift. God has given me a gift, and it's a natural gift, and it's kind of funny. And if you know me, you know that it's true. I have a very developed sense of taste and smell. And as a matter of fact, I can eat something and I can almost tell you what the recipe is just by tasting it. It's like I can taste every ingredient. I can smell things that most people can't smell. And I don't know how that's possible, but it's possible. And I can remember when I first moved to Italy, I was living with a pastor at the time before my family moved there. And I was telling him how much I love this one particular type of orange soda that is in Italy. And this particular type of orange soda is made from oranges in Sicily. And it is so good. It's called San Pellegrino. And I love it. It has such a unique taste. And it tastes so much different than any other orange soda that I've ever tasted. And I was telling him, you know, man, I can taste things that most people can't taste. And I said, you know, I can smell things most people can't smell. And I don't think he really believed me. And one day when I was out, what he did was, is he took my favorite bottle of orange soda and he poured it out. And he had a different type of orange soda and he poured into the bottle of my favorite orange soda. And he didn't tell me anything. And we sat down to supper that night. As we began to eat and talk, I could tell he was smiling and I didn't really know what was going on. I had no idea what he had done. And he poured me a little bit of that orange soda and I was in mid-conversation with him and we were talking about something. And when I lifted the glass up to my face, I didn't even have to taste it. I smelled the difference right away. And I looked at him and I said, who are you trying to fool? This isn't San Pellegrino. And he goes, how in the world did you know that? He couldn't believe that I was able to smell that and I was able to tell that. And you see, the reason I want to share that with you right now is because what we understand from what is going on, many people are different on the inside than what they appear to be on the outside. And just like he wasn't able to fool me, you and I are not able to fool God. All of us have a secret life. And either we have a secret life like Jesus that is full of God and full of the things of God, or we have a secret life that is completely different than what we demonstrate to others on the outside. And I want to just encourage you right now and tell you, just like he wasn't able to fool me, you and I are not able to fool God. God sees what's on the inside of us. He knows what's going on the inside of us. Now, I want you to understand that in Matthew chapter 14, when all of these miracles were going on, and when Jesus was doing all these amazing things, and then when Jesus was going away by himself, and he was going into those deserted places, and he was praying alone to the Father, and he was worshiping the Father, and he was spending time in the spiritual disciplines, and he was cultivating that secret life with God, and that power was being demonstrated. But during that whole time, there was somebody else there with Jesus that was seeing all these amazing things. And he demonstrated on the outside that he was a follower of Christ. But what we're going to see as we begin to look at his life, that on the inside, it was something completely different. And that person I'm talking about, his name is Judas. Judas. How many of you remember Judas? I want you to think about this. Judas was in Matthew chapter 14 all the way through. Judas was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Judas was called by Jesus, and he left everything, apparently, to follow Jesus. He forsook his life to follow after the master. Judas was part of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Have you ever thought about how amazing this is? Judas, the one who would betray Jesus, actually participated. He didn't just see the miracle of the 5,000, feeding of the 5,000 happen, but he participated. He watched Jesus pray and bless those loaves and fish and break them and put them in his own hands, and they multiplied, and he gave this food out to other people. And then he was with the disciples when they brought back all the fragments, and they each had a basket full left over from one little boy's lunch. Judas saw all of that. I mean, can you imagine how amazing that was when Jesus comes walking across the Sea of Galilee, when the storm was coming down on that boat? Judas was in the boat with the disciples. He saw Jesus speak to that storm and say, "Peace, be still." Judas saw that. He was there during that time. And just like Jesus, Judas had a secret life that nobody else knew about. Judas had a secret that the other disciples couldn't see. He also had food to eat that nobody else knew about. What he thought about all the time was not good, and what he was doing was not spending time with God in secret. While he was spending time publicly with Jesus and the disciples outwardly, inwardly he was a fake and he was a phony. He wasn't really in love with God, and he wasn't really practicing those things. He was acting like it on the outside. When Jesus was teaching, when Jesus was giving the message on the Sermon on the Mount, and he was sharing these amazing truths, Judas was right there nodding his head and saying amen. He was right there with the other disciples telling Jesus how great his message was, and Lord, how amazing this is, and I'm so excited that I have the privilege to be sitting here with you. But in reality, he wasn't that way at all. See, what he was demonstrating on the outside was completely different than his inward secret life. Now, I want to tell you, I want you to think about this as well. When Jesus sent out the disciples, and the Bible says that they went out and Jesus gave them authority to cast out demons and heal the sick. And the Bible says they went out and they cast out demons and they healed the sick and they preached the gospel and they came back and they were excited. Judas was among them. Judas cast out devils. Judas healed the sick. Judas did all of these things, and yet his heart was not right with God. He had a secret. He had a secret life, and his secret life was not like Jesus' secret life. I want you to think about this today. Judas was there when Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler. Many of you know the story where this rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, "Master, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments." And the rich young ruler says, "Listen, I've done all these things since my youth." Jesus looked at him and he said, "You lack something." Jesus was putting his finger on the rich young ruler's God, his idol. And he said, "Listen, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And Judas was there watching that. Judas was there listening to that. And he saw, as the rich young ruler understood what Jesus was saying to him. He understood, because the Bible says he walked away sad. He walked away sad knowing that he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. Now I want to ask you, Judas was there when that happened. Judas, his heart was hardened by greed and pride. Now, I want you to think about this as well. Judas was also there with Jesus when the Bible tells us that Jesus received all authority on heaven and earth from the Father. When Jesus knew that all the authority that he had laid down before he came to earth, when he knew that all that had been given back to him by the Father, the Bible says he did something amazing. He washed the disciples' feet. Jesus, the master, the creator of the universe, the one with all power and all authority, took off his garments and put on the garments of a servant, put on the clothes of a servant, and he got down and he did the most menial task that was possible in that day. He began to wash the feet of his servants. And I want you to think about this. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Can you imagine that? The one that he knew was going to betray him, the one that he knew had a secret life. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and he washed the feet of Judas. Now, I want you to think about this as we look at this story. Judas allowed Jesus to wash his feet, but Judas didn't allow Jesus to wash his heart. Judas allowed Jesus to do something for him on the outside so that everybody else could see, but Judas didn't open his heart to Jesus and allow Jesus to wash his heart. Jesus could have washed his heart, and Jesus would have washed his heart because Judas had a secret life. I want you to remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he was in the upper room and he was instituting the Lord's Supper. And guess who was there? Guess who was sitting at the table with Jesus? Judas. He was one of the most privileged men in the whole world. He had a place at the table with the Messiah. Now I want you to understand this, because if we don't understand this, we won't have an understanding of what was going on here. It wasn't like Judas just woke up that morning and said, you know what? I love Jesus with all my heart, but I think today I'm gonna betray him. I'm gonna betray him into the hands of sinful men. No, it didn't start like that. Judas would have never looked at himself and thought, I'm the betrayer of Jesus Christ. He would have never said that. But because he had a secret, because he had a secret life that he didn't deal with and that he didn't let God deal with, this secret life grew and grew until it eventually grew into him betraying Jesus Christ. Think about it like this. Judas' secret life started small. I want to just tell you what happened. One day, we know that Judas was the treasurer for Jesus' ministry. So that when everybody would give and things would happen and people would be giving, Judas was the one that kept the money. He was the one that paid for everything and made sure everything got paid for. And basically what ended up happening is one day Judas was looking at all that money and he was looking at how little of it that Jesus actually used. And he probably thought to himself, man, if I take just a little bit of that and use it for myself, nobody's really gonna notice. Jesus gets a lot of stuff, so why should I even worry about that? I'm just gonna take a little bit, and you know, besides, it's not that big of a deal. And Judas took just a little bit of money. It was a little thing. He started in a little way. He took a little bit of money, and then all of a sudden, every day, it just became easier and easier to steal from Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment. Judas had a secret life where he was literally robbing Jesus every day. And then what happened is his secret life for money, his love for money began to be greater than his love for Jesus. And at a certain point, he started following money in his heart, in his secret life, even though he was following Jesus with his feet. Jesus was the only one that knew about Judas's secret life. And we know that because when Judas was getting ready to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, can you imagine 30 pieces of silver? That's all Jesus was worth to him. That's all that the Son of God was worth to him. That's all that betraying him into the hands of sinful men was worth to Judas. And he didn't start out there. He started out small with that secret life, and it eventually led to him betraying Jesus. And we know that Jesus understood that because Jesus told him, Judas, what you're going to do, go do it quickly. Because of Jesus' secret life, he knew about Judas's secret life. Now, I want to tell you today that all of us have a secret life. You and I both have a secret life. Every one of us that's watching, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, kids, all of us have secret lives. And just like Jesus knew about Judas' secret life, Jesus knows about your secret life, and he knows about my secret life. Judas thought he was deceiving Jesus, but Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. You see, I want to encourage you today and let you know that we can never deceive Jesus. We're never going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes. We're never going to be able to trick him. And I want to tell you, Jesus already knows the truth about you and about your secret life because he is the truth. Now, I want to encourage you today to not run from the truth like Judas did, but run to the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth today. Now I want to tell you what I can guarantee about you today. Your secret life that nobody sees, that every one of us has, it's either spent on spiritual disciplines, loving God and spending time with him, or it's spent on secret sins. There's no doubt about it. You can't have both. Your secret life with God will help you to overcome a secret life of sin, or your secret life of sin will destroy your secret life with God. You can't practice both. You've got to choose, and you've got to make a decision. Now, I want to just say it like this. If you don't have a secret life with God that no one sees, I guarantee you, you have a secret life with sin that God sees. I want to say that one more time. Now, I know this is a serious thing. If you don't have a secret life with God that no one sees, in other words, what I'm saying is that if you don't habitually get along with God and pray and seek his face, if you don't habitually get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get into you, if you don't consistently get into the scriptures and get into worship and get into prayer and deny yourself secretly, then I guarantee you that you have a secret life with sin that maybe nobody else sees. But I want to encourage you and let you know God does. God sees everything that we do. We're never going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes. We're never going to be able to trick him. See, some of us are like that bottle of orange soda. We look one way on the outside, but on the inside, it's completely different. And just like I wasn't able to be tricked, I can promise you God is not able to be tricked. He knows the secrets. He knows what's going on the inside of us. I want to be honest with you this morning. And I want to tell you there are Christians today that are struggling with pornography. There are Christians today who are in adulterous relationships. There are Christians today who are lying to their loved ones. They're lying to their wives or spouses. They're lying to their parents. They're lying to their bosses. There are Christians today who have a secret life where they're stealing. They're stealing taxes from the government. They're stealing from their company. There are people that are stealing from churches right now. There are people that are inwardly, secretly, they're full of lust, but they portray something differently on the outside. Their secret life is full of lust. There are people today that pretend like they love people. They pretend like they're full of all kinds of joy, but really on the inside, their secret life is full of envy. It's full of bitterness. It's full of unforgiveness, and it's full of hatred. And I just want to tell you today that you may be able to fool others, but you can't fool God. You may be able to have a secret life and think you can keep it away from other people, but you'll never be able to keep it away from God. And God does not want you to have a secret life that's characterized by secret sins. He wants you to have a secret life with him so that you can receive his love and his strength and his power, just like Jesus did from the Father. Now, I want to encourage you today and tell you, if you don't deal with the secret sins in your life, they'll cause you to betray Jesus just like Judas did. See, there's many people that are like, no, I love Jesus, but they keep doing these particular things in secret. Now, I just want to tell you that if you continue to do those things in secret, they're going to overpower your love for God, and your love for that secret sin is going to cause you to betray Jesus if you're not careful, because Judas had that type of secret life. He didn't have the secret life that Jesus had, where he was dealing with those things, and then he was receiving love and grace and strength from the Father. Now, I want to read a quote to you today out of a book by John Ortberg. It's called The Me I Want to Be. And I think this quote summarizes what I'm talking about today in a really great way. And I want to just share this with you. This is what he says. People are okay telling a doctor that their body has a problem, or telling a mechanic that their car has a problem. Couldn't sinners be okay telling other sinners they might have a sin problem? I want you to just think about that for a moment. How many of us, when we're sick in our body, we don't have a problem telling the doctor, yeah, it hurts right here. Oh yeah, if you touch it, ow, that hurts right here. Or I just took my truck to the shop this week, and I had no problems telling the mechanic, yeah, the right front end is making a strange noise. But how many times do people come to me and tell me, Pastor, I'm having a problem with this in my life? Many times we don't. We keep it a secret. We keep those things secret, and we hope nobody finds out, and we hope that we can deal with it on our own. And the truth is, you can't deal with it on your own. It's going to destroy you, and it's going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. Judas's end, because of his secret life, was destruction and perdition. He was destroyed. He hung himself, and he fell and busted open. That's basically what happened to him, because he kept that secret life and he wasn't willing to bring those things to the light so that Jesus Christ could set him free. Now, I want to tell you as I conclude today that if you come to the light, if you come to the light, you can be saved today. I want to read some scriptures out of 1 John chapter 1. Now I'm getting ready to give you the good news. I know this message might have been a little bit hard, especially if you have a secret life, but I want to tell you that I love you and God loves you more importantly. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. So listen to the words here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. What are these verses saying to us? They're saying, listen, if we come to the light and we bring these secret things that we're trying to hide from God and from other people, if we'll bring them out into the light, if we'll just admit that, man, I got a problem with this and I need help. Just think of it like talking to your mechanic or talking to your doctor. And you just confess that to God and say, God, this is the truth about my life right now. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to try to lie about it. I'm not going to try to push it down. I'm going to be honest and I'm going to tell you, this is me. I'm bringing the secret out. I'm bringing it to you. The moment you do that, there's going to be freedom and there's going to be liberty that comes to you that you've never experienced before. And the Bible says, if we walk in the light like he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, Jesus was crucified for people like you and me. People that have secrets that they're ashamed of and that they're being overpowered by. And the truth of the gospel today is that you can repent of your sin, you can bring it to the light, and Jesus Christ will cleanse you with his blood, and he will take those secret things out of your life, and then you can have a secret life with God like Jesus had. Where your secret life now is composed of worship to a loving Father, where you can read the Word of God in secret and the Lord will speak to you and give you amazing things, where you can spend time in prayer, not because you have to or because it's the Christian thing to do, but because you have a real relationship with him and you're not hiding from him. He knows you and you're honest with him and you're open with him. We all have a secret life, friends. Now, I want to ask you today as I get ready to close, is your secret life like Jesus, or is your secret life like Judas? Is your secret life full of God, full of worship, full of the Word, or is it full of sin that you're hiding from everybody else, but now you know God sees every bit of it? Now, I want to encourage you with the verses that I just read. If you have a secret life of sin today, you can surrender it to the secret life with God. And if you'll bring all that sin to the light today, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you have a loving heavenly Father that wants to do nothing more than forgive you from your sins. He wants to wash you clean with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage you today, friend, if you're struggling with a particular sin, you can reach out to me. You can reach out to another brother or sister in Christ that you trust. And I want to tell you today that there is freedom from every sin that you can possibly think of. The name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than any addiction to pornography, to lust, to alcohol, to drugs, to anger, to jealousy, to adultery. I don't care what you name, the power of Jesus Christ is stronger than those things. And if you'll bring it to the light, and if you'll confess it before the Father, and you'll stop trying to hide it, and you'll ask him, he will come and he will touch your life right where you are, and he will change you from the inside out, not through your strength, but through his strength. Now, I want to encourage you today, if you need to confess that and you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone to give you that type of life, I want to pray for you today and I want to encourage you to do that today and then reach out so that we can help you in your walk with Christ. Would you pray with me today? Father, I thank you for every person that is under the sound of my voice. And I thank you, Father God, that all of us have a secret life. There's no doubt about it. And our secret life is either characterized by a relationship with you, or our secret life is characterized by a relationship with sin. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch the heart of every person watching and listening right now. Lord, I pray that you would come into each room, that you would come into each heart right now, and that you would do what your word says, Holy Spirit, that you would convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Lord, I thank you right now that you demonstrated your love for every one of us by giving your best, your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a sinner's cross in our place. Even though he was perfect and he was tempted in every way without sin, he became the sacrifice so that we could be forgiven from the secret sins in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that every one of us would cry out to you if there's something that we need to confess. We would ask you to forgive us, and we would put our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we would be cleansed from our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Now I want to encourage you today, if you need to pray that prayer, confess your sins to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Bring those secret things to the light. Then you won't have to run from them anymore. You won't have to carry the weight and the burden of those things anymore. And I want to encourage you to begin to have a secret life with God. Begin to pray, and pray because you love him and because you want to. Begin to read the word of God and ask him to reveal himself to you. God wants to give you a secret life with him today. I want to encourage you today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast. And I want to ask you, if you feel like this would be a blessing to somebody else, why don't you share this with somebody else today and ask God to touch them and bless them. Friends, we love you. We thank God for you. And if you need anything, if there's anything that we can do for you, please reach out. If you've got any prayer requests, if you've got any questions about what I shared today, you can send us a DM in right here. You can send us a direct message. You can email me at james@rolchurchva.com, or you can just put it right in the comments below. We love you guys. We're praying for you, and we're believing that our best days are still ahead of us. God bless you. Have a great week.